Welcome, mamas. Today's interview came about after I watched a heartbreaking 60 Minutes program here in Australia a few months ago. Perhaps some of you saw it. It was about drink driving and mothers in particular, and the high rate of the women in our country who are using alcohol to get through our enormously challenging lives at times. One of the things I'm really passionate about talking about is the pressure that is on our generation of women. Now, I know each generation of women have had their own challenges, but for our generation in particular, the women who are trying to juggle motherhood and relationships and careers and society's expectations, there is a lot on our shoulders. And what I really want us to talk about in this podcast is how we handle that, what we say yes to, what we say no to, and how we can move through this time in our life with more ease and grace and joy. I know, after speaking to so many of you over the years, that alcohol can be a big way of dealing with the struggles and challenges of our current life. But whether alcohol is the way that you wind down after a tough day, or it's food, or it's social media, or it's something else in your life that is niggling at you, that it is not keeping you healthy and happy, this podcast episode is for you. After watching a very moving and heartbreaking 60 Minutes episode a few months ago about the rate of women and mothers in particular using alcohol as a way to cope, I really wanted to do something about this. One of the women in that story was Talitha Cummins. Talitha is a former Channel 7 reporter and presenter, a media personality, and a mama to a little boy with another one on the way. But most importantly for our conversation today, she is the woman who has bravely stood up and said that the pressure to do all and be all led her to a very unhealthy relationship with alcohol. And she wants to share that story with all of us. I absolutely loved speaking to her. And her insights and courage on this topic are so important. I hope that you get as much out of it as I did. This is the Happy Mama Movement with your host, Amy Taylor Cabaz, author, mama to three, and editor of the Happy Mama magazine. In my mamahood journey, I have gone from an overachieving, addicted to busyness superwoman to finally slowing down, simplifying, and realizing that being a mama is the greatest self-development teacher in the world. And after more than 15 years covering breaking news, I've swapped current affairs to inspiration and now bring you the best I can find every week to help us feel more connected as women as we raise our families. Because when we come together, amazing things happen. So welcome to the movement. Many of you may have seen an episode of 60 Minutes a few months ago. It was about alcohol and women in Australia. And in particular, they spoke a lot about mothers. Mothers who are finding the pressure of all that is required of us every single day is making them drink more and earlier in the day. In fact, I remember there was a statistic in the story about the number of mothers that were getting picked up for drink driving at school pickup time. And it totally broke my heart because after talking to mamas for many, many years now, I know that breaking point that many of us feel we're at. One of the women that spoke in this story very bravely was Talitha Cummins. You may recognize her from her career in the media on Channel 7 and on many of our TV screens over the years. But in this story, she bravely shared how the pressure on her to be all and do all ended up creating quite a unhealthy relationship with alcohol. So when I reached out to Talitha to ask her to come in, she came into the studio to have a chat with me today, and I'm so happy you're here. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Nice to see you.
So let's talk specifically about that story first. When I reached out to you and emailed you and said this really resonated with me and I wanted to speak to you, you replied with almost straight away with a response that said, I think we have equality in some areas of our life, but we still don't have it at home. And this is what's really resonating with people.
Yes.
Talk to me about what's happening, you think, with women in Australia.
Out of all of the emails I received after appearing on 60 Minutes that night, the standout point was the fact that I talked about women, we are doing everything. You know, we're going to work, we're getting the kids to school or to kindy, we're making the lunches, we're cleaning the house, we're controlling the household, we're, you know, getting home from work and replying to emails that we haven't responded to, we're trying to arrange a social life. We've got a huge workload on our shoulders. The statistics show that women in between the ages of 35 to 55, drinking has doubled. Their daily intake has doubled. And people are, obviously, women are relying on alcohol to bring some sort of relief to the pressure that they're feeling at the end of the day.
And you see it all the time. I remember when I first started my blog years and years ago, there were two approaches to motherhood online. One was what I was trying to do, which was trying to bring a bit more of a philosophical, perhaps mindfulness awareness around how I cannot drown in this. And the other was wine o'clock.
Yes.
That was the solution for thousands and thousands and thousands of women online. It was, let's just get to wine o'clock. It was coffee in the morning, wine at night.
That's it.
And that is what we've said we have to do to get through.
Yeah. It's kind of become this false reward for people, you know, this carrot dangling at the end of the day that says, okay, just get to 5 o'clock or just get to 6 o'clock or get the kids in bed and then you can have a glass of wine or two glasses of wine or three. And that's fine, as I explained in the story, that's fine for a lot of people, but there is a growing number of people who are finding it more challenging and becoming dependent upon that wine.
So briefly, tell us what happened with you with this.
So I started drinking in my teenage years, as you know, a lot of kids did, and it really kind of struck a chord because it made me a different kind of person. It made me confident, funny, life of the party kind of girl, and I just really, that really resonated with me. Binge drinking continued and sort of ramped up even more when I started my career in television, which was a very high pressure industry. The constant deadlines. I was a fairly shy girl in an industry which required you to be otherwise, really. And, you know, that constant pressure really just built, and the anxiety built, so that by the end of the day I was coming home and, you know, drinking initially maybe a bottle of wine, a few glasses. And a few years later it was, you know, multiple bottles. And then, of course, I was too afraid to go out because when I would go out, embarrassing incidents would, you know, happen. I got taken to hospital. I, you know, a lot of things carried out of the media awards in Brisbane. Just things that, you know, when you're a 33-year-old girl, it's not kind of, you know, you shouldn't really be the drunkest person in the room anymore. And it was because I just developed this huge tolerance for alcohol and relied on alcohol. It became my crutch to relieve the stress, to relieve the anxieties of the day and try to make everything better.
It's also tied up in everything we do as a society and a culture. You know, I was in the media for 15 years as well, and every Friday it's drinks, every event it's celebrated with alcohol. It permeates into everything. And so unless you have a really strong control over it yourself, it is exceptionally hard to have strong boundaries around it.
Yeah, that's right. And I was reading a quote the other day, which was something like, alcohol is the only drug where you have to tell people that you don't want it or something. Mm. I don't know, something along those lines.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's also why everybody knows when you're pregnant straight away and so quickly, because as soon as you say no, you're like,
pregnant. Exactly. Yeah.
Because we just don't say no.
No.
That's the thing.
Or we're afraid to. Mm. You know, the most common question that people ask me when they write to me is, what will happen to my friends if I stop drinking? That's a pretty, you know, for a couple of reasons, that's a bit of a sad reality, really. I didn't lose my friends. You know, there were people who I probably associated with that I don't associate with now, because like attracts like. You know, when you're drinking big volumes of alcohol, you usually hang out with people who do the same.
You hang out with the party people that are still drinking at 3 a.m.
Yeah, that's right. So it's...
So how did you realise you needed to make some changes?
I think I got to the point where I was just like, oh, this is not fun anymore. This was, I'd wake up the next morning and just, there was a spiral of shame. I was in debt. I was, you know, not making it to family events. It was, my life was falling apart. And my chief of staff at work sat me down and just said, you're not okay, are you? And when I knew that work had kind of cottoned onto it, that was a big reality check for me, because I thought I had everyone fooled, but I didn't. So that began a long path of recovery. I went to AA, joined Hello Sunday Morning, for which I'm now an ambassador, and psychiatrist, psychologist. I exercise every day. It was a recalibration of my life, as it was, essentially.
So that's a massive journey to go through, so many layers of that, I'm sure. But for this podcast and this audience, we talk a lot about No More Superwoman. It's the name of my next book that will be coming out next year. It's this idea that the old definitions of success and hard work and pushing through and having to be a superwoman is not okay anymore, especially when we're trying to juggle young kids as well.
Yes.
So looking back at all of that now, at that pressure that was on you and what you think you were trying to hide from, numb, get through, what do you think were the lessons through all of that?
I think that I was very hard on myself, very critical, a perfectionist. I was too afraid to ask other people for help because I thought, you know, they would find, you know, even in terms of work, I thought I'd be exposed as a fraud and, you know. I think just being a little bit kinder to ourselves, I think just looking for the signs of, you know, if you're having a couple of drinks and you feel like you can't stop, maybe it's time to think about stopping for a couple of weeks and see how you react to that. The pressures as well. I think I over-identified myself as a career woman and, you know, was working career, Christmas days, Boxing Day, you know, all of that sort of thing. What you do as a journo, you just give yourself over. And I didn't allow enough time for myself. Exercise fell by the wayside. You know, meditation, which I do now, and I find that very useful, didn't do any of that. So I was just giving myself for years and years and years, and extending myself when I was feeling anxious and trying to use alcohol to relieve those anxieties. But it's not a fix.
It's not. And I think that growing up, you would have been the same as me. I believed that busyness was success. As you said, it was the 3:30 a.m. starts and the working on Christmas Day and always being on call was, that's how you make it.
Yes.
And now I know things have dramatically changed for you now. You're a mama of a little boy who's nearly two and you have another one on the way, very early days, but your career has changed and you are now obviously in a much better, healthy place. How are you now feeling about that definition of success, of that drive and ambition to make a difference and tell the stories? Because this is what I have had to struggle with over the last few years. How can I still be a healthy person now that I'm not having that crazy pressure on myself, being there for my kids, being there for my partner, doing all that I want to do? and not feeling this drive of, come on, I've got to do more, I've got to do more, I've got to do more. So how are you with all of that now?
I struggle with that still because I still identify, you know, I was a career woman. I was going to Hong Kong and then I was going to the US and I was not having any children because, you know, that'll just slow my career. That was me at, you know, age 22. When I did have Ollie, it changed my perspective a lot, completely. Gave me a lot of confidence. It was like a little microchip of confidence was inserted in my brain, which was really lovely. But there is still that kind of drive in me that says, come on, okay, come on. You know, I'm doing some media training and then I think, well, okay, maybe I can have my own agency and maybe I can go national and then maybe we could do some, you know, like it's there's still that ambition and that drive inside me. But I know that in my really busy week, so if I'm doing a lot of public speaking now, keynote speaking to, you know, talk about sobriety and alcoholism. And I know in my really busy weeks when I've got no time and I haven't seen Ollie, I don't like that. Hmm. You know, there's no such thing as balance. I don't believe in balance, but I'm just really trying to find, you know, something that resembles that,
yes,
at least.
And I guess you recognise when it's not there anymore.
Yes.
And I think for me, I never took the seconds it would have taken to recognise I was out of balance.
Yes.
I didn't even hear my body screaming at me. Yeah. I didn't even recognise that my relationships were suffering. It was just all ambition. Whereas now we might not always get balance right, but we recognise it and recorrect and correct it as quickly as we can.
Yes.
Do you think that's the difference?
I think so. And look, as I was saying to you before, I'm reading, rereading.
Yes,
Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg and Thrive by Arianna Huffington again. Both two very successful, wealthy, might I add, women who are both sprouting the same things about you need to take time out for your family and you need to, you know, do this. And then my husband sort of disputes that and says, well, you can if you're married to a billionaire, makes it a bit easier, which I guess it does. But I think there are elements of that which you can take. You know, what is the definition of success? It's money, it's power, but do we need to redefine that? Like, is it having a happy family life and being at home and looking after your kids and doing a little bit of work here and there or doing, you know, I think we just...
We're figuring it out, aren't we?
No, I don't have the answers. It's all kind of scrambled in my head.
Yeah, but, it is, know, for me too. Mm. I remember hearing an interview with Oprah Winfrey and Arianna Huffington and they were talking about whether they thought they would have gotten to where they are now if they hadn't hustled and pushed so hard earlier. Because that's the other thing I struggle with reading Sheryl and Arianna's books and all of those amazing women, is that it's easy for you to say rest is important now.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
You've got the empire.
You've got there.
But when you're building it and you're really at that core stage of trying to establish yourself, there's an enormous amount of work required.
Yes.
And when this question was put to Oprah and Arianna Huffington of whether they think they would have still got there, they both actually said yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
If they'd had a better balance and prioritised different things earlier, they still think they would have got there and actually they would have got there easier and healthier.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm going to hang on to that.
Yes.
That is going to be my new mantra.
I would like to understand how that works under a male boss who is not necessarily so understanding, but yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an interesting sentiment.
That's right. So let's hang on to that. So let's talk a moment about motherhood then. What has motherhood taught you about yourself now and what changes has it brought in your life?
Oh, that's a big question, isn't it?
Mm.
It has taught me that life is too short at times. You know, when you're having a good day, everything's in perspective and you're, you know, feeling mentally positive and life's great. On those days, I sort of think, well, life's too short. I'm just going to keep, you know, for a lot of the last few years, people have said to me, you've got to stop talking about alcohol. Like you just need to do something. You need to move on and do something else and not let that define you.
Mm.
And I say, well, that's not actually defining me. It's I am speaking because I want to help people. If I feel like I can help people, then why not?
Mm.
I think I care less about what others say now.
Is that what you meant with the confidence chip placed in your brain?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I've always been very hung up on what other people thought or what I think of myself or what I feel I should be doing, or what I think I should be doing, as opposed to going with what I feel like I want to do. You know, I've ignored a lot of my instincts over the years, I think, and I'm more prepared and willing to listen to them now. Mm. It's funny seeing this little human copying things that you do and, you know, speech patterns and, you know, I just think, oh, my God. But it's the most wonderful, challenging thing.
And so what tools do you bring to a stressful, overwhelming motherhood day now? For the women who are listening, and I know there'll be so many, who this is kind of tugging at somewhere inside them that they do lean on alcohol, or it might not even be that, but something you know is not serving you anymore. What tools do you now lean on those tough days when it really is, oh, my God, this is too much today? What do you do?
I meditate. I use the Calm app, which is great. It's a 10-minute meditation. I do that. I try to do that before my little boy gets up in the morning. Mm. It's just 10 minutes. If I'm having a really stressful day, I will use it during the day. I exercise. I make sure I exercise. It's probably every day, really. Mm. If I can, my husband understands how important that is to my head, and to his head as well. Probably.
Yes.
So we always try to work it, whether it's before he goes to work or after he comes home, so that I can go to the gym. And when I stopped drinking, I used to come home from work, and I didn't have children at this time, and go for a walk or go for a run, listen to a podcast or listen to some music, and that was a good replacement therapy for the alcohol for me.
That's it. It's tools that you can lean on those really tough days, isn't
it?
Yeah,
for sure. Or talking to a friend, psychologist, therapy, it's the best. Been doing it for a long time now, and I just think it's great. I like people who are self-aware and learn about themselves, and, it's a really attractive kind of thing about a human.
I agree. Mm. I always say I think everybody on the planet should have a therapist.
Definitely.
Or a coach or someone they can speak to. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you have someone that you are totally permitted to talk about yourself and work out your neuroses and figure out your way through it on a regular basis? No, I totally agree. And I just want to say, I really hope you don't stop talking about this. I think it's so inspiring. We do not have enough voices of women who have gone through what you've been through. And especially now that you're a mother as well now, I think that we are facing a generation of really burnt out and overwhelmed women who don't know the right tools to get them through those really tough days. Mm. So I'm really grateful that you're talking about this.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
No, thank you for coming in too on this very rainy Sydney day, mamas. It was intense getting here. And I will share in the show notes not only information about Talitha, of course, but also the Hello Sunday Morning, which I interviewed the founder of that many years ago.
Chris Rain.
Yeah, it's an amazing program.
It's just a chance, basically, in short, it's like my online AA, I call it. You can take 3, 6 or 9 months off drinking, and you basically join this online community and talk about it and support each other.
Wow.
And it doesn't have to be forever. You know, you can drink again. It's fine. And that's the best thing about it. It just gives you a chance to step back and reassess the role that alcohol plays in your
life. You've got the support around you.
Yeah.
And I love the idea that, you can say hello to Sunday morning instead of being so hungover that you don't want to wake up to it. It's a beautiful idea. Amazing work. Thank you for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, beautiful mamas. I absolutely loved this interview with Talitha. This topic is so important. And whether it's alcohol or something else in your life that is out of balance, please know that there is a way to feel so much more connected and calm and graceful in this time of your life. The tools that Talitha spoke about in this podcast, like meditation, exercise, and therapy, are so important for all of us to have in our lives right now. please go to the website happymama.com.au and read through the notes on this podcast episode to find the details about Hello Sunday Morning and Talitha's work. And know that we are meant to have balance and happiness and health in this time of our lives. Thank you for sharing this journey with me. Until next time, Sat Nam.